Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This podcast is brought to you by StarCharge, the largest EV charging manufacturer in the world, and is also a provider of residential and commercial battery storage and microgrid solutions. And KimPower, the reliable, quick, and scalable EV charging solutions for everyone and everywhere.
Hi, welcome back to the Out of Spec podcast, a very remote podcast with our friends Patrick and Liv from the Mach-E vlog. I'm your host, Jordan, and we are at Laguna Beach, which means we can't really complain. I could literally throw this phone in the ocean right now. And we are here for Rivian, the R2 specifically, and the R3 and R3X, which were special surprises.
So surprised.
Amazing surprises.
So we're going to get into everything we can about what we know about the truck. Well, SUV, I guess. And then the other little SUVs, just the event itself, how much fun we had, and more. So let's jump right in. So welcome to the show, guys.
Woo-hoo,
how's
nice
it going?
Today was amazing. Weather, Rivian, surprises, it was awesome.
Yeah. So many good things. I don't even know. I mean, I guess the plain thing to start on is, well, I guess the event itself. I mean, we're here in Laguna Beach. This is at the Rivian, what's it called?
South Coast Theater.
South Coast Theater.
Yeah, it's a 1930s sort of redone theater that they've made into like one of their locations that people can come and see adventure movies and check out their vehicles. And
yeah, it's a Rivian Center. So
yeah,
they adventure opened it up like a couple of months ago, I think.
Yeah, and they started kind of right off. You know, RJ came out on stage and talked about Rivian Spaces. You know, we're seeing hubs everywhere popping up. You know, Venice is one of the first ones, which Kyle and I filmed like years ago. And now Denver has one. Like, Rivian Spaces are popping up everywhere. Big cities, but maybe even some smaller ones eventually. Yeah, we got birds and everything.
We got a fan.
We are in nature, which is very Rivian-esque.
Oh, yeah.
And then they talked about the Rivian Adventure Network and even, you know, first of all, Rivian, RJ went on stage and everyone clapped
for like
a long time.
Yeah.
It was so funny. I think he's a very popular CEO. And then he talked about, you know, Rivian Adventure Network, Tesla access coming soon. Very soon.
They said this month.
So this month.
That's March.
Yeah. So shortly after.
I feel like
after,
I heard a 17th going around. Didn't
maybe
you?
18th allegedly.
18th?
Yeah.
Well, so, maybe.
Rivian access to superchargers very soon. Which got a lot of applause again. And the vehicles we saw today had NACS ports on them. So I guess we'll start off with the R2, which was the big news we all knew was coming. Now, before this, a couple days before this, people were actually, well, I guess leaks came out because of source code, someone accessed the source code somehow on the website updates, which is a common way to find leaks, actually. It's happened with Apple and Google and stuff also. But yeah, people found out some of the specs.
Some were wrong.
Some were wrong, some were right.
Yeah.
But everyone was like expecting that they knew what was going to happen today, and they were wrong.
Yeah, it wasn't quite like, I don't know if Google or who has done like some intentional leaks before, because like it does work up hype, which is true. But in this case, yeah, it was funny. the leak said, oh, $47.5 starting price, which conveniently with the tax credit brings it down to like $40. Now that's assuming tax credits don't change. We'll get to that later. But that was a little bit wrong. The actual starting price is $45,000, which is fantastic. I do want to know if that's like really what's going to happen, because we are 2 years away.
Yeah.
That's something else they mentioned, is the vehicle will start delivering early 2026, which still feels like 6 years away, but I forget it's 2024 now. So 2 years from now, we should see the first deliveries. Now, some people point out they could under-promise and over-deliver. They're more likely to do that than some other companies.
Yeah.
So that would be really cool. And they kind of did that with this event, honestly. Everyone's expecting R2. And they're one more thing. And they're like, one more thing, X. I don't really know what could change between now and then, because that price is a good price. But will they be able to keep that price with most likely year-over-year inflation, et cetera? How will the market change in 2 years? There's a lot of things that could change. You know, even R1 came out and then immediately went up in price. That's even something they could do. It's hard to say. I still think it's a good deal.
I think they're going to have to keep to that price, though, because we know that EVs are going to have to start being more affordable. They're definitely attacking the mainstream market with this offering, with the R2 and the R3. So they really can't afford to do something that's out of reach for everyone.
Yeah.
So they kind of have to deliver on their promise.
And I think a lot of it might be now automakers are sort of making a bet on lithium prices coming back down.
Yeah.
The way they were before the pandemic, because they skyrocketed. And that's one of the real reasons we saw things like jump up a little bit. And then now, hopefully things are more stable and they can predict 2 years down the road, we can do it for 47. Because that's a great, or 45.
45. Yeah,
that's a great price point.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. Now it undercuts the $40,000 mark after incentives. And I'm glad they didn't lean into incentives. A lot of companies seem, especially Tesla on their websites, like, oh, here's your price. Oh, by the way, to toggle something else, if you want to see the real price.
Yeah.
Rivian didn't even talk about incentives this morning. They just said starts at $45,000. Now, their official email after the fact said it starts around
$45,000. Oh.
And so I'm wondering if that's like really what it is, or if they're giving themselves some PR leeway with that. But that's still good. And it's funny that just after the leak said $47,500, they're like, $45,000. Like, I wonder if they changed that.
I know, I wonder too. And I did ask them, and they swore, like, I asked two of them, and they swore they did not leak it. Because I was like, that was very sneaky of you, if you did. Very exciting, but...
Yeah. So, price-wise, seems pretty competitive, honestly. And you can't just look at the price, obviously. Like, that in a vacuum seems pretty good, but all the other things as well. You know, they said all the different powertrain options will still be able to do 300 miles of range. Which is pretty great.
And that was one of my concerns coming in today, is like, I thought they might say it's starting at 45, but to get 300 miles of range, you got to spend 55. But they're like, whatever package you get, which means including starting one, you would have over 300 miles of range.
Yeah. Now their technical wording on that was any drivetrain can do 300 miles of range, but I still wonder if that means there could be a different battery sizing, or if there is a way to have a cheaper car that's less range. I don't know.
You speak PR better than me. Like, you notice all those
things. Moment RJ said that, I was like, what does that mean? I'm hoping I'm over analyzing that, and it's actually going to be, hey, they're all going to be 300. Because I think if they come out in 2 years, even right now, people want 300 mile cars.
Oh yeah.
Right.
So in 2 years, to be competitive, I think they're going to have to do 300 miles.
Yeah.
Across the board.
I think, the leak said 330, so I don't know. When they said 300, I was like, are they hedging their bets and going down? Like, 300 plus is like 300 and up.
I think that's the gauntlet now. It's like, you got to do, the 300 is like,
yeah. I think that makes sense. So, I don't know. Specs-wise, we don't know a ton, but we know that it'll do over 300 miles. Below 3 seconds 0-60 because of this tri-motor situation. Now everyone's doing tri-motors.
Yeah.
Which is cool. And for everyone else, it's been like upping to three motors. It's funny, for Rivian, it's been down to three motors because they had four when they initially launched and the R1. So they're familiar with multiple motors and the calibration of that drivetrain. So that sounds like a fun, spicy drivetrain, especially if it's that fast. That's crazy.
Definitely spicy. That's a good term. But no air suspension.
No air suspension. No air suspension.
Sort of expected, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. And we've seen a lot of great coil setups from other manufacturers, so I'm sure they can do a good job. But I'm curious how they're going to do it, because all we know from Rivian so far is air suspension. And
right.
Other companies have done both, and honestly, I think both have worked. And I've gotten to that point where I don't necessarily care which it is, as long as it's a good representation. I mean, I think EV9 rides pretty well on coils. I guess all the EGMP stuff rides pretty well on coil suspension. So, I don't know. Will it ride well? It's hard with the coils because you really have to find that dial between some off-roadiness, which Rivian leans into the adventure mindset, but also the street driving, and also, oh, by the way, we can do, like, drag launches, like, sub 3 seconds. So, I don't know. What other specs am I missing?
Well, here's one I thought was sort of surprising. Was it the 4395? Battery sales?
4695.
Yeah. I was like, it's like we don't have a lot of exact specs out of this thing, but it's like, we got a new battery, by the way. And I was talking to somebody outside. I was like, it's sort of interesting. Like, there wasn't a whole, like, here's a huge battery day. We're going to go through all of this battery tech. They were just like, oh, by the way, we have a new battery.
We have a new cell. We don't know what they're going to do with it. We don't know how that'll affect charging performance. You know, I can't wait to test charging curves. Of course, how the range will be affected. You know, we saw charging challenges early on with R1, and they have addressed some of this with software. And so it's going to be interesting to see what this new battery is capable of. You know, Tesla has the 4680 cells, which are close to the size, 4695. That means only 15 millimeters taller. Is that the right measurement? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, I know.
I don't even know.
It's confusing. Those are two, both number 46 and 95 are two different millimeter measurements. And that's how the size of the cell is calculated. And so there are a lot of benefits to going either direction, but these are much bigger cells than the Rivian R1s had. What's interesting is, you know, the Rivian R1 had the Easter egg of, oh, the 7,777th battery cell is the flashlight in the door. I guess that's the only battery cell now retained from the Rivian R1, which are now in the R2. That same flashlight in the door that we all love and forget that's there is actually going to be in R2 and R3, which I thought was cool.
And they said...
They have other accessories.
Other accessories.
Yeah, like a hand warmer, a phone charger, I think.
Cool. The phone charger could actually be super cool.
That would be great.
Because there's so many times where we're like, oh, I got my battery over there.
Yeah.
And I leave it at home. But if it's always in the door and I'm out and about, especially like in an adventure vehicle, it's like, let's go for a hike. Let me just grab my battery to go with me.
Well, what's funny, on the R1T, I've used the camp speaker, which is no longer a thing. I've used that as a phone charger, like a remote battery bank.
That makes sense.
That is way less portable than flashlight size.
I love a flashlight one. So that's pretty cool. They're thinking about lots of accessories. I guess we could talk about that really quick, because the press photos and everything, lots of bike accessories.
Yeah.
I mean, they're leaning into bicyclists, which are everywhere. And R2 especially, a lot of space. They didn't even try a 7-seater like Tesla did with the Model Y. They're like, look, we're just going to get made fun if we do that, like Tesla did. So we're just not even going to try. It's just going to be a very spacious, I think, 5-seater with lots of room for bikes in the back, but also these crossbar things for the roof. They're all interchangeable across R1, R2, R3. And I think on those same hitch systems, they're going to have some sort of bike rack system. They mentioned that for the back of the truck too, or SUV, whatever you call it.
Yeah.
And the bike rack's going to be powered.
Yeah.
And can fit in the front, which I don't, like, it doesn't look like it would be able to fit.
Yeah, I don't understand. I need to
see
it.
They were very, like, made a point of saying that.
Somebody asked a question about the camp kitchen that everybody was so excited, and apparently it was canceled, but they said it was coming back in a different form. And the most interesting thing, somebody says, like, is it going to work on the R1 and the R2? And they said R1, R2, R3, and non-Rivians.
Yeah. So is this going to be a random Rivian kitchen?
Yeah.
Like, maybe a Gordon Ramsay collab. Like,
these scallops are raw.
It's going to be the George Foreman grill.
That would be so funny. Yeah, because everyone was so excited about the camp kitchen. So I knew they couldn't just bury the hatchet completely. Like, they would have to do something eventually. But I thought it would be still a gear tunnel situation. So now we know it's not going to be a special made gear tunnel thing. It's really just going to be some sort of kitchen thing that I guess will fit in all three vehicles. plus others.
Yeah.
They want to do interchangeability and everything, but also like maybe they're expanding their whole adventure lifestyle into like you don't have to just buy a Rivian. Like you could buy Rivian accessories.
You could buy a Rivian fully. Yeah, you could literally buy a Rivian instead of a house. Like you can camp in it, you can cook in it, you can
I think that was one of the most exciting things to me. It was like how flat the back can get, including the front seats can fold down forward. Flat, and it was expansive to see it all.
Let's talk about the front of the cab really quick, because you know the outside just looks like Rivian, which I think is a win and a lose. I don't know. Some people are like, "Oh, it's not a fun new thing," but you know, R3X helped change that a little bit. It's still very Rivian, which I think is good. You know, nowadays vehicles to differentiate each other just have to rely on the LED lighting signature, and everyone knows Rivian.
Yeah,
I'm starting to get some other companies mixed up because they're like kind of playing off each other. Whereas Rivian's just over there doing the like.
Hungry hippos.
Exactly. So the front, it looks very Rivian on the outside, but the inside is where they started to still play to the Rivian, which feels kind of Volvo, which is completely a compliment, by the way. It just feels nice and looks good and fairly clean and simple. And they've taken that even further. The new wheel, the old wheel was fine. But the new steering wheel looks phenomenal, and it has the interesting big wheels, like scroll wheels.
Big.
They can access from the front and rear, and even rotate them and like angle them and like push on them. Like, I wonder how good that is, or if it's going to be gimmicky.
And they said the haptic feedback, which I thought was interesting, because they were like,
"It drive you crazy."
Well, but it's like, as you're clicking up in volume, you can feel the clicks.
Yeah.
But then, like, if you're scrolling like your playlist and you get to the top of the playlist, the wheel will actually stop moving.
Yeah.
So I think it's like it has some really good feedback.
There's a lot of potential.
It should make it feel really nice and make it use like easier to use, because that's the whole idea, is like you're just using your thumbs.
Yeah. There's a lot of potential to make it work well, but also a lot of potential for it to be bad or bad at launch, and then they get it figured out later. I don't know, but they have 2 years.
Hey, they didn't have like a two switches for four windows thing.
Oh my gosh. I don't know why that was ever a thing.
Or the dual switches for AC and...
Yeah. That's probably worse.
Yeah. I think they're watching what other people are doing. They're like, no, we're not going to do that. In some ways, they copy Tesla, and I think in good ways they do, because their OS is really good, the user interface. They're retaining basically the same type of screen situations as R1, which have been really good. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, like you said, the front seats fold down. That was another everyone cheering moment.
Oh,
because, like, we're used to CUVs having back seats fold flat. But now it's like, oh, by the way, the front seats fold completely flat, which is done by removable headrests.
Yeah.
Which I guess were a design challenge, too, because they have to worry about the architecture of safety standards and all that. But it's also done by the steering wheel being able to be moved even further into the dash, because usually that's the issue. The steering wheel gets in the way of the seat folding, at least the driver's side. So that's pretty cool. Although it's funny, I don't know where the headrests go once you move them.
They showed
the one in the showroom folded down, and then I found the headrest over on the stands, like where you were standing in the morning.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, I should have grabbed it and played with it. Well, okay, so one thing they did add is not just one, but two glove boxes. So maybe the headrest fits in one.
Oh.
So like, and then...
I don't know. It didn't look that big. I mean, it has two glove boxes, but that's
design challenge.
That was funny. Everyone's like, oh, we want a glove box. And they're like, okay, here's two.
Much applause.
That was another applause moment. He's like, we gave you a glove box and a second glove box.
Yeah.
He had so much fun giving that presentation.
Yeah.
Genuinely.
One of the first comments I saw was Steve Jobs vibes.
Oh, yeah.
And then I was like, yeah, I'm sort of getting that. And then when it was like, and by the way, we have something else. Yeah. I was like, okay, that's total Steve Jobs.
He literally said, there's one more thing.
There's one more, but it wasn't like there was
fanfare or anything. It wasn't like raising crescendo of music. It was just like, it's going to be awesome.
Before we go on, like, which of us, like, I thought it was going to be an R2T. Did you?
Yeah.
I was leaning that direction.
Yeah.
But the moment they brought R3 out, I was immediately taken aback by it. So basically what happened is the R2 was, you know, center stage, and then it rolled forward, and then he said, we have one more thing. And then the R3 came out, took the center stage, which now means the stage is grossly imbalanced, and they didn't move them around. So I was like, well, there's all this room behind the R3. What else is going to come out? And then I was like, oh, surely that'll be the R2T.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be a bike or something. Like an
accessory.
I was hoping
for like a Roadster, but you know, how funny would it be if Rivian beat Tesla to the Roadster market?
With the Hungry Hungry Hippo eyes.
Yeah. Just a boxy little car. That'd be so fun. But yeah, they did the one more thing. And honestly, I think a lot of people do respect him. I respect him. He's an approachable CEO. And he didn't even use a teleprompter. Most people this morning, things like this, unveiling, revealings, whatever, use teleprompters. They want to get the verbiage right. And it's very obvious. I was looking everywhere. No teleprompters. Nothing is here. He just had everything memorized. He knew what he wanted to say. And it didn't even feel like that scripted. Like, it feels like he had the talking points memorized and then he just talked about them.
It was super natural and as though he just really knows his topic and he knows his community.
Yeah.
And obviously, like, the community was feeding off him and they were feeding off each other, and just watching him interact with everyone before they started and after, it was like, hey, hi. Like, everyone there is obviously like a part of this. So he definitely seemed casual and like he was talking amongst friends of like, let me tell you about this amazing thing.
It sort of goes back to the whole design and like what they're doing with the R series and the brand, because like one of the other talking points that they had was that like, where does the R3, like, what segment or what category does it fit in? And they're like, it's an R3. And I think it really says something to the brand of where they know what vehicles they want to make, and whether it fits into whatever category is irrelevant, because they have this vision, and it starts with RJ. It's like, this is the vision that they have for the brand, and it makes it easy to design products, and it makes it easy to talk about them without the teleprompter.
I selfishly hope they do like a Jeep competitor and just call it the RJ. Like,
yes.
Oh, that's cute.
But yeah, they surprise us with two extra vehicles, and I mean, the third one was literally the color of your hair. Like,
it's so perfect. I love it so much.
They came out with the R3, which, like you said, was kind of crossover, but also not really sedan, but kind of hatchback. I mean, kind of Ioniq 5 vibes to me as far as just the profile shape.
Yep.
But a bit steeper on the back end, which is cool. And seems like a great size, a compelling size. Because another big thing about these vehicles is, you know, people have asked, and when I asked on Twitter for people's questions, they said, when are we getting right-hand drive versions of R1? Or when are you coming to the other markets? And R1, not currently slated for that, but R2 and R3 are literally being made to also go to other markets, including right-hand drive. Like, they're thinking about all these things.
And the location of the charge port, they were very clear about watching people charging their vehicles in Europe. So the passenger rear, right? So people charging on the sides of the road and like taking the...
Which
tables.
I was surprised.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be right front, because then that would give them easier access to Tesla superchargers.
Yeah.
But right rear is sort of like they are still sticking to... Like, if you flip the car around and back into a spot, it would be like still compatible with
R1. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I guess it depends also with superchargers. Like, aren't V4 superchargers a bit more flexible with the cable situation?
Yeah.
So maybe you won't be blocking a spot. Because right now, if you go to a Tesla supercharger with a Rivian, you're basically taking two spots, unless you're on the very end somehow.
They did say, and this is something new I just saw like 2 days ago, on the Tesla website and their FAQ about NACS, it says that they are working on a NACS-to-NACS extension cable.
Ah.
So I'm like,
that would help.
Yeah. I'm assuming that's going to be a bit pricey because of what you need to do to make an extension cable.
Yeah.
Who knows? Safe.
Yeah.
I know there's some other companies that are looking at making extension cables as well, which it could be worrisome and a lot more cumbersome to use, but it would be nice to be able to pull in like with a Rivian or a Mach-E and just go like, this is the one we're pulling in and this is the one we're using, and I don't have to like get that close to the supercharger to charge.
I just feel like they're so intentional, though. Like, Rivian, they keep stressing form over function. I mean, function over form.
Yeah.
They're very, like, they're focused on seeing how people use their vehicles. So I just don't feel like they would put this out there without having an understanding of how it would be. And, like, I couldn't imagine them intentionally putting out a vehicle that you have to have an extension for.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see it roll out, but...
And again, it's like, it is 2 years down the road.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see a lot of solutions from Tesla with the longer cable.
Yeah,
because
they wouldn't be the only one with the cable issue. I mean, especially like F-150 Lightning or even Mach-E, you know, it's further up because the hood is long.
Yes.
And so it's like, that's awkward unless you have an extension solution. So a lot can be done with the charging stations, and that's, you know, a whole other video topics down the road. But you're right about the function over form, but they still remember form, which I love. It still looks so good, but they did the whole, you know, they went right off the bat with like showing, oh, the rear window rolls down, like as in the back glass rolls down, which is
applause,
just like a 4Runner.
Everyone's
like, heck yeah. Everyone loves their 4Runners because of that. I asked them, like, why else do you like your 4Runner? Oh, I don't know. Just the rear window. But also the back between the C and D pillar glass vents. So a lot of like little things. And even like they're like, oh, people love the split tailgate. That's expensive. That's complicated. So we're going to just have a different solution to where the tailgate opens. The back glass can roll down. The bottom floor can come out and act kind of as like split tailgate things. You can still sit on it or put things on it. And even like inside the truck, because they're thinking about, oh, people want this car camp, you know, just below that rear window that rolls down is a table thing that pops open.
Yeah.
So it's like all these little pieces of function, and it makes me so happy.
Oh, I love it.
I think that's one of the things that sort of worried me before we came here was, a lot of people were like, okay, you have the R1, is the R2 going to be like a basic cheap version, cut down in size and features and form compared to the R1? And they had to remove some things, but at the same time, it feels so Rivian inside. The materials still feel and it looks really good. And they have little things like, we're going to have this little table here. We're going to have the rear glass roll down. So it feels like, it's going to be a lot cheaper, a lot more accessible to people, but you're not losing out on what it is to be a Rivian. Because we've all seen that from other brands. Like they have like, it's like you have the higher end version, and then they're like, but you can also get the cheaper version. You're like, but nobody wants that.
Cause I feel like cheaper is the word. It's like more affordable. They looked at what they could cut while still keeping the materials premium feeling, but more affordable. Because like cheaper has different connotations, but everything that they're about is like how you can feel premium, and the materials inside looked absolutely gorgeous, like the wooden inlay that the screen was resting in, that same kind of like brushed aluminum, and then the textiles on the floor, which are super resilient, and like you can bash them around and rinse them out and they still look great. Like everything was really well considered and doesn't look cheap. It just I think they cut the cost in places we can't see it.
And I'm really curious where future of R1 will go, because I'm sure we'll see updates to that before the 2 years are up, because this doesn't feel like a miniaturized R1 lineup. It kind of felt in some ways second generation. They said they have new hardware under the hood running their screens, running their ADAS systems, the new battery cells. They didn't talk much about the actual drivetrain, but they seem to indicate a lot of just new things. And so it's taking the Rivian ethos, but advancing it, but also making it cheaper. And so what could they do with R1 in the future? I don't know. We'll report on that, of course, but I am super curious. This brand has been really fun to follow for the last 6+ years, and I'm just more and more excited now. So I guess before we wrap up, we could touch on R3 a bit more, or R3X. I mean, that was their other, the one more thing was like, which just everyone lost their minds at that point. They rolled out this rally ready, like rebel rally ready looking thing, like R3X, which I guess X could be extreme. I don't know what you would call
X
that.
Extra performance,
extra,
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 super extra.
Which is
because
blend brands.
Yeah, and instead of the yellow accents, it was all red or not red,
burnt
orange. Yeah, like a nice deep orange.
Oh,
very
yeah,
similar to that.
Yeah.
That was, we should have known the moment we walked in.
Right?
Oh, this isn't yellow.
But, oh, we should have asked. Now I'm going to ask.
Gorgeous. Oh, no, it was definitely intentional. I looked. It totally matched.
Gorgeous, gorgeous. Yeah, for those who can't see us, this orange name or press tag badge thing is orange. And it's about that same color. Pretty close.
Yeah.
And it was donned on this also cool blue color. I don't know what other cars.
It's teal.
It was that
teal. You know what other car is the Honda Prologue?
Prologue. Yes. You're right.
Because I've been finding my hair matching. Like, nope, this is the one.
Yeah. So a gorgeous, like, rally ready aggressive, you know, tri-motor with a lot of cool interior things. We couldn't go inside that one. We couldn't really go inside any of them, but like we could lean into the R2. Like the R3s, they didn't even open the doors. I know they're still working on details with that, but this one had like, I guess they just let their artists have fun with the interior. Like lots of cool material choices.
The super like caramel leather with like embellished seating and like ventilation everywhere. It definitely did look like.
Yeah, the cork on the dashboard, like which felt kind of Mazda MX-30. And just, fun. Like tri-motor, super fast, but like smaller 19-inch wheels with thicker sidewall, like rally tires. Like this thing looked like what I want to daily in the winter, but also just all the time.
All the time.
Yeah. Take it to the beach, take it up a mountain, like wherever.
It's sort of a good point because it looks like a perfect Colorado vehicle.
Oh, yeah. Really
like it 100% looks like a Colorado vehicle.
But also like would look right at home here on Laguna Beach. Like,
oh, yeah.
They kind of nailed both, which is really cool.
And that's actually sort of like their ethos, I think. It's sort of like Rivian overall is like beach vibes, throw surfboards on top, mountains. And
obviously like the rear window coming down and then the back where you could pull out the base of the storage. That was very much of like loading in your surfboard or sticking your skis in the back as well.
Yeah.
So like all through their ethos and everything.
Definitely.
I want one.
It was funny because like we went ahead and like as soon as the event started, went online and was like, I'm going to just go ahead and throw in my R2 reservation.
Because we wanted a smaller SUV. Yep. The R1S is too big.
And then when the R3 came out, I was like,
cancel.
No, I was like, where's the R3? You can't reserve it yet. But I was like, we'll throw in a reservation for that. Somebody was like, how does it compare to the Volvo EX30? It's bigger than a Volvo EX30.
Yeah.
And a lot cooler, and it has a driver's screen.
I think it's a great, I wonder what they'll price it at. So we know basically nothing about R3, by the way, other than it looks fantastic. And I think, I mean, sure, you could be argued that these are like really early concept cars, but I think they're going to stick with it. I mean, Rivian's been pretty good at showing the product unveil concept and then actually putting it out. For the most part.
Yeah, and it was not so far off from reality, really, and they definitely have the whole progression of the brand.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't seem, like, just random. It's very planned.
Yeah. So, I'm excited to see where this goes. Again, R2 should be early 2026. They said they're still working out technical details, so we should find those more along the way, which, of course, we'll report on, because we're just waiting on the edge of our seats. I mean, I guess you ordered one, but who knows when R3 pre-orders will open? We don't know timing on that, other than you heard maybe after R2.
Shortly after.
Shortly means
what?
3 months to 3 years.
Exactly. So, I don't know. Any final thoughts?
I want one. I want to know if other people want one. And if not, will they want one? Because everyone should want one. No. I'm really excited. And I think that this place in the market has finally been filled by the R. Well, I'm going to say the R2, but it's the R3 I'm excited about. So you guys can talk about the R2.
I think the R2 is going to make a lot of people happy that the R1, R1S specifically, was just a bit too big for their garage or whatever. They were talking about the R2 is going to fit like in everybody's garage. I think it's going to make a lot of people happy. It's fairly comparable in size to the Mach-E. But because it's more stout and upright, I think it's going to make it a lot easier for people getting in and out of the back. It's Rivian, so it's going to have the performance numbers. I think it's going to be a very, very, very good seller. And I'm excited that there's just lots more Rivians coming out.
Yeah, me too. I think a lot was riding on today. They've had a lot of rough press recently with some of the layoffs and just a record loss last year, Q4 2023. And so they had so much riding on today. I do think they nailed it, like, out of the park. I mean, the hype was very much real. Everyone was excited to be there. Yes, we have our either concerns or just like question marks around timing, or even some of the unknown pieces of like, well, okay, we know the starting price, we know the peak performance, but like, what are the other numbers in between?
Yeah.
And as we find those out, we'll let you guys know. But otherwise, just let us know what you think of R2. Did you reserve one? Did someone you know reserve one? Because statistically speaking, probably one of those two. It's going to sell like hotcakes. I can't wait to drive it. I can't wait to car camp in it. I really want to car camp in everything. I just want to try it out. So maybe I'll get a car camping scale and see how they do.
That's a good rating.
Car camping.
I'll test the USB-C port speed. I like doing that too. So yeah, it'll be fun to follow this along. So thanks for being on the show, guys.
Yay, thanks.
Great
you.
To see
I'm
you.
So glad we could
California.
Be here.
Any excuse to get out here, you know. Francie, where are you?
I know. Hi, Francie.
Anyways, we'll hand the show back to Francie now, but thank you guys for tuning in to another Out of Spec podcast. We'll see you very soon.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.